You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
So good to have you today at Breakout Radio Church. Pastor Dale Gentry here, and Gina's not able to be with us in service today, but we are so delighted to have you here at Breakout Radio Church. So it's good to have Aliona Pacheco working with us in Moldova, running, doing the editing, and innkeeper. He's doing some engineering today, and Allison and I, we're waiting for Ian to come. And it's good to be on Facebook Live today, as well as bpnradio.com. We're going to be doing this first Sunday on Facebook Live. The other Sundays, of course, we're on bpnradio.com. So welcome to church today. We are a church without walls. We are a international house of prayer. Comprised of members all across America and nations of the world. And we are responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're doing. Breakout Radio Church. Somebody said, well, I've never heard of a radio church. Well, I hadn't either. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the summer of 2014 to start this internet radio station. And now we have the opportunity to broadcast and have church services. And so we are absolutely delighted to have you with us today. God has put a special message in my heart that I've got to preach. But first of all, before we start, I just want to bless all of you members. I got your names in my hand, and I love to pray for you and bless you and just say thank you for being a member of Breakout Radio Church. Melinda in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Just go over a few of these names. Donald and Janice from Sweeney, Texas. And Cynthia from Texas City, Texas. And we have Olive from Alberton, Montana. We got a lot of people. I think you guys know that guy. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church. So delighted to have you. And what we're going to do is just going to start off with some a cappella praise and worship. You know, a couple of years ago, I got this prophetic word about what the coming revival was going to look like. And in this prophetic word, the guy that was given the prophecy, and I bore witness to it, that said that people would come to church sometimes minutes or even hours before the service began. And when the church leader got there, the pastor got there, people would already be worshiping and praising God and singing in the Spirit. He said sometimes there would be some music, but most of the time it would just be kind of an a cappella roar of people praising and worshiping God and magnifying God. We know the Holy Spirit is attracted as we worship Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. And so today we're just going to do that in preparation for what I'm calling the coming revival. It's going to sweep across America, what I call the third awakening. So why don't you just, wherever you may be, unless you're driving, lift up holy hands to a holy God. You might be on the beach. You may be at work. Wherever you may be, Father, we just thank you and praise you. Yes. And magnify your holy name. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Come magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we can do this with music or without music, but today, just what we foresee, the coming revival, we just praise you and honor you and magnify your holy name. We are so thankful, so grateful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you today. You're a good God, awesome God, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We love your presence. We love you. We enjoy your presence.
Rain on us, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Rain on us. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And magnify him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Lord, your will be done. We agree for this service today here at Breakout Radio Church. Lord, your will be done today. As Ian and Allison and I set ourselves in agreement, the will of God be done in our lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for every need that is represented here at Breakout Radio Church today. Every need you'll supply. We pray for Carolyn and Carolyn DeLeon and her mother. Her brother this past week was critically injured in an automobile accident in Hawaii. And Carolyn and her mom are in Honolulu today with her brother. He's had several surgeries also already this week. Father, we lift out and pray for Ron DeLeon and Carolyn DeLeon and her mom today. We know there's no trouble like trouble that comes our way. In Jesus' name, we pray for any of our church members standing over you. And whatever your need might be, here today, Breakout Radio Church, we just speak healing over you. We pray that the Holy Spirit will open your spiritual ears to hear, spiritual eyes to see, and heart to receive today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, Ian Kieber's going to come. Receive your tithes and contributions. Breakout Radio Church is supported by you, our loyal members. And we're so very, very grateful for your faithfulness to give. And then I'm going to come and preach a message that is on my heart today. Okay, Ian?
Awesome. So good, so good. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. And what an honor and pleasure it is to be here. I noticed that, you know, we didn't actually plan this today, but we are very color coordinated as a team. So for those of you on the radio, we all are matching today. Yeah. And we're very color coordinated, so we love it when that happens. Holy Spirit's working obviously everywhere, and what an amazing time it is when just to do a cappella praise and worship. You know how it changes the atmosphere, but it changes you on the inside as you lift up and worship God. Yeah. And wherever you're at, whatever you're dealing with throughout your week this week and each and every day, just know that whenever you might be feeling anxious and overwhelmed or stressed or just having anxiety of any sort, that you just stop and praise Him. Praise and lift up God and start singing wherever you're at, you know, and watch the atmosphere around you and inside of you change.
Yes.
As you just praise and are grateful. And, you know, something I also want to mention is for those of you that tune in during the week, or maybe you see Pastor Dale's faith declarations, I want to share with you that obviously Pastor Dale comes every single morning. He's up praying. He's doing the faith declarations, and he records those every morning for you to listen to and post them up on Facebook. And I'll tell you, for us as a family, one of the our during the summertime, you know, where kids are waking up, they're sleeping in a little bit, but they're coming up, and one of the things that changes our mornings immediately is to play those faith declarations and repeat them out as a family each and every morning. Mm-hmm. And it's so good because my kids they're picking up more of those faith declarations as we go each and every day. And it's just so wonderful to have. And so I want to thank you, Pastor Dale, for that, and encourage you church family out there. Of course, if you're not doing those faith declarations, that you do so. Watch your days change each and every morning. And so I want to give our members here, and for those of you that might be visiting today, to a chance to give your tithes and offerings this morning. And you can do so a couple of different ways. So number one, you can head over to bpnradio.com. At bpnradio.com, a beautiful website put together by Brock Gentry that he built for Breakout Radio Church. And there's a donate button there that allows you to give your tithes and contributions through PayPal with a debit or a credit card. Makes it very simple to do so. Or if you prefer to break out a check, to make that check to Breakout Ministries and send that to P.O. Box 91985, That's Austin, Texas, 78709. Again, that's Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And so let's just pray for everyone today. Yes. Before we head into the message. Father God, we thank you so much for all that you're doing here with Breakout Radio Church, for all that you're doing across this land, Lord. We just lift up all of the members, all of those that are out there listening, that are sharing, that are being a part of our service today and every day, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to have this ministry in this church, God. We just thank you for multiplying the seed that gets sown into this ministry and all giving that's done out there, Lord, that you see it all, Lord, how big or how small or whatever it is, Lord, that you are taking that seed and you're multiplying it and using it in your kingdom, Lord, and you're multiplying it for those that are out there giving, God. We thank you so much for the opportunity to just show our faith within you, our love for you, God, that we know that you're working in our lives, Lord, and we thank you for all that you're doing, God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen and amen. And we'll have Pastor Dale come and deliver the message now this morning, and God bless you all today. So come on over, Pastor.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Ian. Wow. Well, I love my spiritual son and spiritual daughter, and they've been helping us now for quite a while here at Breakout Radio Church, and of course, Allison on Prophetic Thursdays and sometimes on Prophetic Tuesday. Well, I'm going to preach a little while, and then Allison is going to come and lead us in prayer, because I love to pray. She loves to pray. We love to pray, because that's what we're all about. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and I want to read from the book of Revelation the very last chapter, and then I'm going to preach a while as the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and I'm really excited about this sermon today that God has put in my heart. You know, something's got to burn inside of me before I can really get passionate about it delivered to you. I thought when I first started, you know, I'll build up 2 or 3 years of sermons, and then I'll just repeat those the next place I go. But I found it really doesn't quite work like that. Revelations 22, beginning with verse number 6. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." And Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then I go all the way down to verse number 20. "He who testifies these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Surely I am coming quickly." So, you know, if I had a title to my messages, would be this: Jesus is coming soon. Now, I know that many of you people have been hearing that for a long, long time. When I was a little boy, they even had billboards up: "Jesus is coming soon." That would be the backdrop of a lot of auditoriums. "Jesus is coming soon." And most of the songs when I was a boy growing up with my dad being a Pentecostal preacher was on heaven. And my dad would get up and say, "Jesus is coming soon." And the people of the congregation would get so excited. You would think that someone had just scored a touchdown or someone had hit a bases-loaded home run, a grand slam, because the people would jump up and down. Many times I can still see them as a boy running around the church. It would be like, oh man, they're having a party of all parties. Now we don't see that very much in church. Everybody's so quiet, dignified, casual. Sometimes I went to a church not long ago and a lady was eating a couple of donuts in front of me, and she went back for 2 or 3 more with her coffee. So anyhow, so people are pretty casual. But those days, people would come with tremendous anticipation. I remember there's an old song, because so many songs were sung about heaven. There's an old song that says, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." And you ought to look it up. You ought to go to iTunes and get the song, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never grow weary," or what have you, "but walk on streets of gold." And I can remember people singing that song and tears coming down their eyes, not tears of sadness, but tears of joy that Jesus is coming soon.
and I'm going to get to go to heaven. And so when I was growing up, I caught that. Some things are more caught than taught. Mm-hmm. And I caught that atmosphere. We didn't have children's church in those days, so I just grew up, and if I'd get sleepy, sometimes I'd crawl under the bench and go to sleep. But most of the time, I was catching something that would make a difference in my entire life. So Jesus did not return for all of us while I was growing up, but I still live, after all of these years, 52 years preaching the gospel, I still live in that aura of anticipation. Mm. What? Anticipate. That Jesus is coming soon. And that's the good news. Because a lot of people are troubled about what is going on in life. They're troubled. I've never seen so many people fearful about what's taking place or what could take place. But Jesus said, I don't want you to let your heart be troubled. And I want to read John chapter 14. I really like this passage of Scripture in the King James. And also, I'm turning my notes. Somebody said, ask Ian today, when David went and fought the giant, how many stones did he take? He took five. But how many stones did he use? He used one. So I want to say to you preachers out there, always take plenty of notes. Sometimes when I take a bunch of notes to a church, pastor's looking at quite anxious. Oh, you got to preach all those notes. No, just in case. Just in case. So you always need more than enough. I'm going to read from John chapter 14. I like this. John chapter 14. Here's what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled. What about when we see all these things happening and there's all kinds of threats and you know, there's rioting or marching in the streets or protesting and there's threats being made against our nation, our leadership. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You are trusting God, now trust in me. And I'm reading this from the Living Bible. I like the Living Bible translation. There are many homes up there where my Father lives, and I am going, he's saying this to his disciples, I am going to prepare them for your coming. In other words, you're going to come. I will come and get you. What? I will come and get you so that you can always be with me where I am. If this weren't so, I would have told you plainly, and you know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. What? How do we get there? Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that Jesus made. So he said to his disciples, because he'd been talking to them about eternity, about going, they had a hard time grasping it. He said, now I'm going to go, but I'm going to come back, and I am going to get you. You've heard me tell the story of my mother-in-law, Virginia. When Gina and I got married, she wasn't even a Christian, none of her family members. We led most of her family members to Jesus. But my mother-in-law, once she got saved, she became very radical for Jesus, very radical. You could hear her say, amen, hallelujah, above all the congregation when I would go to the church to preach. She loved my preaching. She loved me and loved my preaching. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. And she was diagnosed with cancer. Gene and I were out traveling. She was hospitalized at Oklahoma City. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day because she seemed to be on the mend. It seemed like the treatments were working. But the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to take your mother-in-law to heaven soon. Y'all need to go spend some time with her. Well, it's good to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And so Gene and I, we postponed our schedule for a few weeks. Went back to Oklahoma City where we're living, and we would visit with my mother-in-law each day and spend time with her and pray with her. One day she lapsed into a coma, and we spent lots of time at her bedside just praying. One morning, while she was in this coma, suddenly she sat right straight up in bed and said these words, I see Jesus, and he's coming to get me. And with that, she laid her head back, and she was gone. Gone, gone, gone. Where was she at? She went to heaven. For the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wow, that's exciting. That the Bible said, Paul said, that is the hope that makes not ashamed. When we have all kinds of difficulties and trials, we know that this is not our home. They used to sing when I was a boy, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And so what has happened to us today, we've become so comfortable, we think this is heaven. This is not heaven. This is not heaven. Heaven is no more death, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more grief. That's heaven. But a lot of people, we know that by the way they live, they have no regards for heaven. They say, this is all there is to it, so I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow I may die. But you got to understand that there is an eternity. Mm-hmm. So my mother-in-law saw Jesus, Virginia saw Jesus, and he came and got her. Now that's what he said to his disciples. So this is very scriptural. He said, when everything is ready, I'm going to come and get you. Mm-hmm. And I tell you plainly, you're going to be with me. And so he gave them these words in his final departure. This is from Luke chapter 24. I love to read this. He led them out. He led his disciples. This is Jesus. He led them out as far as Bethany. And why Bethany? Because that was the place that Lazarus had a resurrection. So I believe he chose that very site. And he lifted his hands and he blessed them. I like that. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried where? Up. He was carried up into heaven. Where is heaven? It is up there. It is up there. You know, when we start looking down, everything looks down. When we start looking up, everything begins to look up because Jesus is up there seated at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession for us, and I believe he's got everything prepared for us. I believe it looks beautiful, and I'm very excited today. I have the hope that makes not ashamed. So, the Bible said he was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Think about this. The disciples up to this point were so sad that Jesus was going to leave them. In fact, they thought that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. Remember James and John, they were arguing, and even their mother got involved in it. Who can sit on your right? Who can sit on your left in this kingdom? They thought it was all going to be an earthly kingdom. A lot of people try to set up their kingdoms here on earth, but they will not last. It's only his kingdom that is going to last throughout eternity. So he said, I'm going up. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We're continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God. How did things change so rapidly? They were sad. Then he said, I'm going to go away. Talked about sending the Holy Ghost. But he said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare this place for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come and get you. So suddenly, they had a revelation of heaven. That this life was only a temporary life. Only one life. It will soon be passed. I cannot put all of my stock in this life because I know that everything that I build, everything that I do outside of my work for Jesus, what I do for him, is only will only last temporarily. But what I do for him is going to last eternally. So I know this life is just a short life. The Bible said, James said it like this, life is only a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's all it is. And you go out to the cemetery, you'll see tombstones with maybe a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 25-year-old, 91-year-old. And so people live only a life, certain lifespan, and then they go. And if they know Jesus, where do they go? They go to heaven. Where is heaven? He's up there. Heaven is up there. It is a place that Jesus has prepared for those that know him, that accept the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. And so when that happens, then there is, the Bible said there's a book. I guess it's a really big book. He said there was a book. It's called the Book of Life. And when we accept Jesus and say we commit our lives to him, we accept the sacrifice on Calvary, then our name is written in that book. Now, as a lot of people think, well, God's got a big eraser, and every time we do something wrong, he erases our name out of that book. And then we start doing something right, he says, oh, I'm going to pencil him back in. Then he's, no, 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 no. I know that when we accept him as our personal Savior, then he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we forever or ever will be with him. So, the Bible said that when Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, while they watched, he was taken where? Up. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly, this is, I believe, Luke 24, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you've seen him go. He's going to come back and get you. So, Jesus went up. He prepared heaven for those who want to spend eternity with him. There's a lot of people, they would not be comfortable in heaven. They don't want to go to heaven. I was so saddened when I was going to engineering school in Dallas, and the place where I had a room, and I spoke to this woman about going to heaven. She said, Dell, I don't want to go to heaven. My mother went to hell, and I want to go be with my mom. I said, that's a place of torment. And she said, no, I want to be with my mother. I know my mother went to hell. And that would be a poor choice. But all of us make choices. But my desire is to go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven and be with Jesus, but I also want to go to heaven and be with my mom and my dad and my two brother-in-laws, and my spiritual dad's up there. Boy, I got so many friends, and I want to go. I want to go to heaven. And so we got to know that he is going to come and get us. Now, sometimes he comes and gets us in death. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so when we die, our body goes back to the ground, or some people choose other ways. Their body may be lost at sea, or they may be exhumed in some way. They may have their body turned into ashes, and the ashes are on the coffee table. I don't know how that works. It doesn't make any difference, but your spirit goes to be with the Lord. So your body, and my sister keeps asking me about this all the time, your body goes back to the grave. What happened to Jesus when he died? The Bible said that his body was in the grave. Mm-hmm. So what happened? The Bible said that he went and ministered. I'm going to read this. So when Jesus died, he had an out-of-the-body experience. He died, and he went and ministered. 1 Peter 3 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely where? Home to God. He died for you so that you could get up there. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. And the Bible said he went and preached to spirits in prison, especially to those who disobeyed during Noah's time. I don't know why he specifically preached to that group that was in purgatory, but he went and preached to them. How did he preach to them? His body was in the tomb. And there in Jerusalem, it was in the tomb, right? But he went to preach. So that tells me and I've said this quite often, it really makes sense, that particularly on Prophetic Tuesday, that you have spiritual eyes. Have you heard me say that? And you have spiritual ears. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have not seen, speaking of the spiritual eye. Ear hath not heard, speaking of the spiritual ear. And so there, evidently that we have a spiritual body that has a form that we can, the Bible said, we'll know even as we're known. You know, one of our faithful church members, Gerald Davis, who preached here at Breakout Radio Church a few weeks ago, tells a story about his out-of-body experience. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that's had an out-of-body experience. I mean, even the Apostle Paul, listen to this in 2 Corinthians 12, this boasting is also foolish, but let me go on and tell you about the visions and the revelations I've had. 14 years ago, I was taken up to heaven. What? You know, his body can't go to heaven, so his spirit had to be taken up to heaven for a visit. Now, don't ask me whether my body was there or just my spirit, but his body was not there. For I don't know, only God can answer that. But anyway, there I was in paradise and heard things so astounding. What did he do? He heard things, so that means that his spirit had ears. He said, I heard things that were so astounding, they're beyond a man's power to describe or put in words. And anyway, I'm not allowed to tell them to others. That experience is something worth bragging about, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to boast only about how weak I am and how great God is to use such weakness for his glory. So he got there and evidently had eyes to see, because he said, I could describe that. So couldn't describe it with just what he heard, but with his eyes. And so he had an out-of-body experience, and he was just limited in telling what he could. So somebody said, well, when I get to heaven, am I going to know people? Because we are not in the body. Our body is in the grave, in the tomb, wherever it may be, waiting for what? The resurrection. Mm-hmm. So what happened to Jesus? His body was in the tomb for 3 days. He went with his spirit man. His spirit had a form. His spirit had a body. His spirit had eyes, ears, mouth. And he had to have a mouth because he preached to those in prison. On the third day, his spirit came back and connected to his body, and his body had a resurrection. That is one of the great messages. Mm-hmm. The Bible said if there's no resurrection, there's no hope. And remember how there was that Jesus gave a preview there with his friend Lazarus, and Lazarus died, and Jesus didn't come the first day, the second day, the third day, finally appeared on the fourth day when it was all hopeless that he could possibly survive or even be alive or even be resurrected. But Jesus came, and he wept because of their unbelief. And they could not understand how it could happen. So he began to explain to Mary and Martha and those around about the resurrection. Then he just said, Lazarus, I want you to come forth. Now, I don't know exactly where Lazarus was during those 4 days. Evidently, he was up in heaven. But when they sent him back, they said, now, you can't tell everything here. And so Jesus called him back. And Lazarus got up. His spirit came back into his body. But there was a resurrection. Mm-hmm. So evidently, Lazarus walked around on earth with a glorified body. Jesus did, and with a glorified body. When we come back for the 1,000 years, we'll walk around with glorified bodies. No pain. I'm telling you what, if I preached this back when I was a boy, they'd be shouting, running around the room. And so there's not much room for Ian Allison to run here. But I'm telling you, that there is a day coming when Jesus will come and get us. He came and got Lazarus. Then he brought him back, let him experience a glorified body walking around until he finally took him. Mm-hmm. So, wow, that is just awesome. It is so exciting about what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And so he comes and gets us one at a time. And our body is in the grave, but our spirit, which has a form. And I was going to say this. Gerald Davis, one of our members, and I know he's a very truthful man, but he had somewhat of an out-of-body experience. And he went to heaven. Mm. And when he got to the gates of heaven, he saw his dad running toward him. Now, he knew his dad. That means when we get to heaven, we're going to know each other. Mm-hmm. We won't have to say, well, now, who are you? And tell, no, no, no. We will know even as we're known. And he saw his dad with some other guys running to the gate. And Gerald said, Dad, Dad, it's you. Let me in. Let me in. I've been missing you so much. I wanted to come up here and be with you. And Gerald said his dad looked at him and said to him, now, son, heaven, this is a wonderful place. But your mission, your commission, your assignment on earth is not finished. Gerald, you got to go back and finish your assignment. Then you can come and be with me forever and ever. Wow. So he comes and gets us one at a time. But there's coming a day, and the Bible said that if we look for him, the Bible says in the book of Peter, if we look for him, he will appear the second time. He's already been here the first time, appear the second time. Mm-hmm. And he is going to take us. There come a day, it's one by one right now. And when our spirit leaves our body, then he takes our spirit into heaven. Where does it leave? Where does it go to? Up there. He comes and gets us. My mother-in-law said, Jesus is coming to get me. And he took her spirit. Her body was still there. We took her body out in the grave. We cried. And we also celebrated because we knew where she was at. Mm-hmm. But one day he will come in an hour that we do not know. Mm-hmm. Only the Father knows about it. But he'll one day say to Son, come on, go get our children and bring them up here. So there come a day that all of us will go at once. And I know that a lot of people say, well, how could that be? We'll all go at once, and those in heaven will come back, get their bodies. They'll go back up. They'll precede us. That's what Paul said. And so it's going to happen quickly. He said it's going to happen a blink of the eye. Pow! And the people in heaven, they come back, get their bodies, they resurrected, and then our bodies are totally transformed. We are in heaven, leaving behind this earth. I know there's a lot of people, a lot of theologians say, no, there's going to be 3.5 years of great tribulation, suffering, and hell on earth, and we're going to be here and go through that. No, 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 no. Why would he do that? No, he has reserved heaven for us. And when we are gone, there's going to be hell on earth. For 3.5 years, it's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. And then after 3.5 years, the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to come back on a white horse. This is not a fairy tale. Jesus is going to come back on a white horse. And the armies of God, that's those of us in heaven, are going to come back. You know, some people think, well, we're not going to go to heaven, and we're just going to go through the tribulation, and then Jesus is going to come back with those that's been in heaven, and we'll be here 1,000 years, and then heaven will come down on earth. Can you imagine me saying to my dad during that 1,000 years, Dad, how was heaven? How was it up there? He'll say, well, Dale, I wish you could have seen it. Oh, it was a city of gold, And he'll say, one day you'll see it. And I'll say, Dad, but it's going to be 1,000 years. No, 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 no. That cannot be. That cannot be that a bunch of us that are still on this earth will just after the tribulation period and Jesus and his armies come back to fight the battle of Armageddon, and we are here for 1,000 years. We'll rule and reign 1,000 years, that we say, well, we sure would have liked to have seen it. No, I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe that we're going one at a time, Jesus coming to get us. Then at some point, he'll just come and get all of us. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to go? We're going to go to heaven. And once we're in heaven, then the tribulation is going to break out. 3.5 years of terrible sorrow and heartache. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of 3.5 years, Jesus and the armies in heaven, we that are in heaven, will come back, fight the battle of Armageddon, and Satan will be taken and put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and all of the armies of the enemies of God will be destroyed by the fire that goes out of his mouth. and God will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. We'll rule and reign. I might reign in Austin. I might reign in Tucumcari. I don't know. But it's going to be wonderful. We'll be here for 1,000 years and with glorified bodies, just as Jesus walked on this earth for a few days with glorified bodies. And people have an opportunity, actually, to turn to Jesus. Mm-hmm. At the end of the 1,000 years, the devil will be loosed. He'll go about the earth trying to finalize his army. And when that happens, then they will be destroyed. Satan and all of those that of his followers will be cast into the lake of fire. But we that know Jesus, the Bible said that heaven will come down and be placed on this earth. It's a beautiful city. We just go into that city and we will rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You say, well, I don't know. But you can know. And how can I know? The Bible makes it very simple. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Mm-hmm. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the Bible said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Mm-hmm. Shall be saved. Mm-hmm. Saved from eternal damnation. Saved to be with him forever and ever. It's the hope that makes not ashamed. So don't put too much stock in this life, because there is this is only a temporary place. We're just passing through. Do your best. Live for Jesus. Win other people to Christ. Give your message. And if you don't know the Lord, before Allison comes to pray, however the Holy Ghost leads her, I want you to say this prayer after me. You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Would you just say with me, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you arose on the third day. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You need to find you a local church. If you don't have a church or a pastor, you can become a member of Breakout Radio Church. Just go to bpnradio.com. and click on Breakout Radio Church. There's a membership link, and you can fill that out. And you can send that in. We'll add you to our list. We'll be praying for you. If you need to contact us, we have a church number on our website where you can call that. And my assistant, she will let me know that you've called. I'll give you my personal email address. You can send me a personal email. At Dale Jean Gentry at cs.com. DaleJeanGentry at cs.com. Oh, Allison, come and pray. However the Holy Ghost leads you. I just believe there are people that are, there's hearts are being stirred. And there's so many people, I believe, that are so troubled right now because they don't understand that this life is only temporary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you go ahead.
Thank
and pray.
You. Oh, what a good message. And I just heard the whole time that you were preaching, are you living for today or are you living for eternity?
Yeah.
Right? And I think there's so many of us who get wrapped up in the trials and the tribulations. And I'm not downgrading what you're going through, right? Like, I mean, each of us have things that we have to go through. I'm so convicted right now that some of us are going through some things because of, and again, I'm not talking about like actual depression or the things that are mentally happening to us, but like we're just overcome with a sadness that because we're choosing to focus on today instead of choosing to focus on the joy of eternity. And then for me, I think of, you know, when you were reading from Luke, for me, I get really stirred up about Holy Spirit too, right? Because again, what Jesus did for us is that he didn't leave us orphaned, right? His word said, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm coming back one day. Yeah. I'm coming back one day. But until then, yeah. But until then, I'm going to leave a friend and a comforter for you. Yeah. And, you know, that Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes we treat him more like a guest, uh-huh. right? Like, well, I sure hope he comes and visits today, right? And that's not what he left for us. He didn't leave Holy Spirit to be a guest to reside in us every now and then. No, when we accept Jesus, right, when we pray that prayer of salvation, when we've been saved, what happens is Holy Spirit then resides in us. We are his home, right? Like this body, this person is a home for Holy Spirit.
Yes,
your person, your body is a home for the Holy Spirit. He is not just a guest that comes and visits every now and then, that he is in you. He resides in you. And so you have this power, this great power that resides inside of you. And I get so fired up about that, because how can you just live today in this moment and be stuck, right? When you have that power that resides in you, you have that overcoming power that resides in you. And just, I get so fired up, because each and every one of us, we have a choice. We have a choice. We don't have to like, you know, a lot of us too, we kind of go, oh, I've got to sit in this space and I've got to wait for him to come and, you know, and usher his spirit in and wait for him. And he's like, I'm here. I'm here with you. And of course, like, he loves us to just praise and worship him. And sometimes when we don't know what else to do, is it just to cry out, right? Like I tell my kids all the time, you know, when they're going through something, or they just don't know what else to do, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. It's so very simple. Just that name, right? Just his name itself just ushers that in right there. Just Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you. So you don't know what else to say. You don't know what else to do. When you feel like you've lost all hope, he just says, say my name. Call out my name. And stop focusing on today. And focus on the promise that I have for you in eternity, right? Yeah. Just a vapor today, a vapor, but all eternity,
Yeah.
Oh, what a, just to think how much he loves us.
Yeah.
He loves you so much. And I just want to pray this morning for all of you who, maybe you've just been wrapped up, I just hear the Holy Spirit saying some of you are overcome with a hopelessness. I hear that word, hopelessness, that everything just seems hopeless. Everything just seems like the dark is coming in and the dark is winning, and it's overwhelming. And it's coming over you. And I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that Heavenly Father, we just ask that today, right now, those who are feeling any sense of hopelessness, the overwhelming sense of darkness coming over them, and thank you, Jesus. I just hear him saying right now that sometimes we need to walk through that darkness so that we can really understand and appreciate the light. Sometimes there's going to be dark times so that we can appreciate and walk through the light. I just hear him saying, you were never meant to be stuck here. You were never meant to be stuck in the place that you are at right now. You were not meant to be stuck here. No. No, he says, I've given you a hope. I've given you hope for new life. For new life. Just walk through the darkness, but walk towards the light. Walk into the light that he has for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus, that you that you reside within us 24/7. God, that you didn't give us a friend to just be a guest who comes every now and then, but that you gave us a friend and a comforter that resides in us 24/7. That we don't have to feel hopeless. That we don't have to feel alone.
Right.
That we are never alone.
That's right.
And that by simply saying your name,
thank you,
that crying out to you, Jesus, because you gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could be in relationship with you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That you're coming for us, that one day you will come for us. Yes, but until then, I've left you a friend and a comforter.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, God, that we don't have to focus on our trials and our tribulations, and not to focus on the darkness and what's overwhelming to us, God, but we can focus on eternity and what is coming for us and what is promised to us. God, what glory you have for us. God, and thank you that because of your Holy Spirit, because of your friend and comforter, that I can live out in righteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not my own righteousness, but your righteousness, God. God, that this life was not meant to be one that kicks me down and beats me constantly. No, that I am victorious. I am victorious, yes, because of you, Jesus.
Yeah.
That you are victorious. Claim that right now. Claim that right now.
Yeah,
I am victorious.
Yes.
Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I am victorious.
Yes.
What you choose to focus on. I just hear him saying that over and over again. What you choose to focus on comes about. You don't have to choose to focus on the darkness. Focus on the light. And every situation, there is light. You know, church, I will just share with you, the other day I was sitting in this space and I had this overwhelming feeling come over me. You ever had that come over you where his presence just floods you? It just floods over you and you're just, oh, it feels so, it's like a warm blanket. And you're like, I'm just going to stay right here. I love that feeling when he just comes over you and he just, and I sat in that and I said, thank you, God, for all of the unanswered prayers. Thank you, God, for, yes, all of the prayers that you have answered, God. But right now, I'm just so thankful for all of the things that you knew that were better for me, God, than what I knew to pray for. That here in this space, I only knew to pray for so much, but you had so much better for me. Oh, what comfort I take in that, and knowing that it's always about his plan, his will. Let his will be done in our lives. And that, God, that your will for me is to not to sit in a dark and lonely and empty place. That your will for me, God, is to rise up. Rise up. That's such a powerful word of up, right? Everything is up. Everything is up. To rise up. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I pray for each and every one of you right now that you may be sitting there and you may feel weighted down. And he's saying, rise up. Rise up right now, whatever space you are in, whether it's you're sitting down, rise up. If you're on your knees, rise up. If you're already standing, stand up taller and rise up. Rise up victorious, because you are called out. The Holy Spirit resides in you. You are not just some tattered down, broken down mess of a house. You are a temple for the Holy Spirit to reside in, to call home. Not just vacation area, home. God, let every area of my life be revealed. The darkest areas of my heart be revealed, God. I give them to you to take those rock hard, stony places. God, thank you, Jesus, that only you can take those places and you can make them new, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we are always a work in progress for you, God. Let our lives be a testimony of your glory, of your grace, and your mercy, God. I love you, Jesus. You just repeat that with me, church. I love you, Jesus. And from the depths of my soul, I can feel it from my pinky toe all the way up. Hallelujah. That I love you, Jesus. A love like no earthly love will ever know. That I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Whatever space you're in right now, let those words change you. Those words will change you. Let us hear your voice, God. For those of us who feel like we can't hear you, God, I just pray that that spirit be released and that all areas of confusion be taken away and that they hear your voice, God, that they hear you loud and clear, that they know that the voice that they have been hearing for years and years is the voice of you, God, that you have been directing their steps, that you have been working in those places on their behalf, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. We love you. We love you that you are expanding this ministry, that you bring more and more people each and every day to hear your truth, God.
Yes.
Your truth, that this book that you wrote here, the book, God, that you wrote is being played out.
That's right.
Each and every day.
Yeah.
Y'all, the world would have us believe different. But his word is being played out. I love you, Jesus. And I just want to say to each and every one of you, I love you. Some of you need to hear those words today. And I love you. Brothers and sisters, I love you. You know, some of us, those are hard words to receive because we haven't heard them very often in our lives, or when we have heard them spoken to us, they haven't been true love. But I love you. Someone out there loves you, and you are worth so much. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that you are everything that you promised us you would be, God. And that each and every one of us matters equally to you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Each and every one of us.
Yes, Lord.
God, and I just pray that those who are struggling with the spirit of comparison, that be broken off today, God. That our relationship can't be compared to someone else's relationship, God, that you have a unique and loving relationship with each and every one of us. God, I pray that today that you speak to those who need to rise up, who need to remember who they are, that they are a temple that your Holy Spirit resides in, that they are worthy, that they are loved. God, and I just pray that those who are struggling, I just hear the words divorce, I hear the words money, children. God, I hear the word devastation. Those who are struggling, God, that they be lifted up. And that they can see the light of your unanswered prayers, God. And that they come to you with a gratefulness and a thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for the unanswered prayers. Thank you, God, that each and every day you refine us. That each and every day you call us to be better and greater, but without you, that we are nothing. God, and I pray that you continue to light our steps. That you continue to remind us that it's not just about today, but all eternity.
That's right.
Thank you, God, for trusting your children with such a great responsibility. What a great responsibility we hold to just live a life that belongs completely 100% to you, God. God, because without you, I am nothing. But with you, I'm everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen.
So we love you guys. God bless. Take care.